Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our first quarter results call. With me here today is Mostafa Al-Mahdi, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll speak today about a change in our reporting structure before we move on to our performance in Q2 and our expectations for the second half. As you doubtless noted in our earnings release, we are now referring to GB Auto as a leading automotive company in the Middle East and North Africa and non-bank financial services provider in Egypt. This is not by accident. It is the result of long discussions about what we have become as a company since we launched our diversification drive a few years post-IPO. That change in thinking is reflected in the structure of our disclosure, as we now report separate results for our core automotive businesses and our high-margin financing business. These two businesses are very different in terms of financing and capital structures. For example, significant debt on the automotive side of the equation is more likely to signal a market slowdown, whereas rising capital efficient debt on the financing businesses side of the equation is a sign of robust growth in asset portfolio size. By breaking down the financials in the same way as we view the business operationally, we are giving you more clarity on how we operate, and we are making it easier for shareholders and analysts to forecast top-line growth, cash flow generation, and relevant net financial debt. In doing so, we believe it will be easier to accurately value the group as a whole and uncover hidden value. One thing we do not intend with this segregation is to signal that a spin-off is imminent. This is first and foremost an exercise in transparency. Mostafa and I would be very happy to address any questions you may have during the Q&A period, so please speak up then if you have anything you would like to discuss. Now, turning to our performance in the second quarter, it's clear from our new reporting structure that GB Capital accounted for the lion's share of our top-line growth in a challenging market for automotive sales. This came as 500 basis points worth of interest rate hikes year-on-year, so our financing costs more than doubled, coupled with a high inflation environment that saw growth in our SG&A outpace growth in our top line. The result was a loss for the quarter. I see our bottom line improving as the year progresses. We do hope that the Central Bank of Egypt reduces interest rates. They suggested as much when they noted that their most recent 200 basis point hike in July was a temporary measure. And whatever happens there, we are seeing signs of continued improvement in the market that leave us optimistic about revenue growth and declining inventories. We are very actively working on the reduction of inventory. A substantial portion of our rise in SG&A came as a result of, one, the sale and lease back between GB Auto and third parties, two, the increase of the regional expenses due to the Egyptian pound flotation effect, three, the increase in utility prices, four, as well as the expansion of our financing businesses, and five, asset revaluation that increased depreciation costs. Using every tool at our disposal allowed us to cut net debt at our auto and auto-related businesses to the tune of 600 million Egyptian pounds between the first and the second quarters. This trend will continue through the year end, with the automotive business set to have a debt level back at historical norms. In parallel, I am being ruthless in my commitment to cutting operating costs. We are rationalizing headcount across all functions. We are adopting a more targeted approach to our marketing expenses. And we are exploring long-term means of cutting costs through measures, including energy efficiency. In short, I am confident that the second half will see continued improvement in our top line and that our bottom line will recover as volumes pick up, as interest rates decline, and as our inventory levels normalize. As they do, ladies and gentlemen, I am very confident in the prospects of all of our businesses. We have the right strategy, We have the right businesses on both the automotive side and the financing business side. I see momentum building toward a good recovery in 2018 and exceptional opportunities in 2019 and beyond. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I will conclude my remarks and turn the call over to Mustafa, who will recap our financial performance. Then we'll open the call to your questions. I hope we can have a lively discussion, not just of our results in a very challenging quarter, but also of our outlook for the year and our plan to continue to build and grow the business. Mustafa, please.
Thank you, Dr. Raouf. Ladies and gentlemen, before I begin, I would like to reemphasize that our new reporting structure has been put in place for the purpose of improved transparency for analysts, stakeholders, and prospective investors. Our core automotive business, GB Auto and Auto Related, and our financing business, GB Capital, contrast sharply in the terms of growth, financing, and capital structure. Our new disclosure structure separating the two has been put in place to provide more clarity on top line growth, cash flow, and debt movements. To that end, GB Auto Group's consolidated revenue increased by 6.3% year-on-year during the second quarter of 2017 to reach £4.2 billion. On a year-to-date basis, revenues grow 4.2% in the first half of the year 2017 to £7.1 billion. Growth in consolidated revenues was equally driven by GB Auto and Auto Related and GB Capital during the second quarter, while overall growth during the first half of the year was mainly driven by GB Capital, which recorded a 49.7% year-on-year increase in top line and offset an overall year-on-year decline of 1.7% for GB Auto and Auto Related. GB Auto and Auto Related segments results were impacted by the slow year-on-year performance of the Egyptian passenger car segment following the aftershock of the Egyptian pound's flotation in November 2016. However, the passenger car segment is starting to show clear signs of recovery, with segment revenues climbing 43% quarter-on-quarter in second quarter 2017, compared to a 57.7% quarter-on-quarter decline in the first quarter of 2017. However, volume recovery measures such as price promotions and dealers' compensation packages come at the expense of our gross margin, which declined to 11.3% versus 14.4% during the same period last year. Consolidated SG&A expense reached 317.5 million Egyptian pounds, representing 8% of consolidated revenue, compared to 243 million pounds, representing 6% of the consolidated revenue during the same period last year. The growth in our SG&A expense year-on-year was mainly caused by a higher expense related to GB Capital expansion, the Egyptian pound flotation, effect on cost inflation, and additional working capital needs, as well as asset revaluation and its resulting increase in depreciation expenses. Our net margins during the quarters were also affected by the forex loss of 23.8 million pounds and increase of finance costs of 332.6 million pounds driven by a higher interest rate. Due to the challenging operating environment over the past few months, the group fell short of generating positive cash flow due to the slowdown in sales volume, which resulted in a sharp decline in cash flows from operation. Management is actively working on balancing this by reducing order frequency and pushing off accelerated sales. Our inventory level was down by 1.5 billion Egyptian pounds to reach 5.3 billion Egyptian pounds at the end of Q2 17 compared to Q1 17. Our trade payable balance was down by 305 million Egyptian pounds to reach 1.9 billion Egyptian pounds at the end of Q2 17 compared to Q1 17. The group's net debt stood at 8.8 billion Egyptian pounds, representing a decrease of approximately 660 million pounds compared to Q1 17 at the end of second quarter 17. Total consolidated debt decreased to 10.1 billion pounds, which includes 3.5 billion pounds of financing business debt as we continue to expand our financing business operations. We expect to return to normalcy in the next couple of quarters, which will see our cash flow situation improve. Additionally, following our new disclosure structure, improvement in GB Auto and Auto Related will be more evident, while GB Capital robust performance will be better highlighted. That concludes my presentation for today. Ladies and gentlemen, we can now open the floor for your questions. Operator.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And we'll take our first question from Hadil El-Mazri with Arab African. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for holding the call. I just had two questions. First is your operations post the second quarter. Did you remove or stop giving the discounts or special prices, and how are volumes doing? And also, second would be on the automotive directive. There was something today in the news that it would be discussed again in November. If you can give us more clarity on what's going on right now with their amendments, maybe just an update on that. Thank you.
Let me just make sure of the first question. You're talking about discounts you are giving to the market and campaigns, and how is this translated into volumes? Is this the question?
Exactly. Post the second quarter, are you still continuing in the same strategy, or have you stopped? How are volumes still recovering? How are things looking in July and maybe the first 2 weeks of August? If you can get some clarity on that.
Okay. Regarding your, thank you for the questions. Regarding the first one, we clearly see the market is recovering. I wouldn't say it is getting back to the previous levels before the flotation, but there is very clear signal that the market is recovering and we are recapturing our lost market share in the first quarter. The lost market share the market share we lost in the first quarter. I would say that we are currently at anywhere between 60% of our volumes before the flotation, which, to my opinion, with the huge impact of the flotation, shows a very resilient market, which is coming back quite sooner than we expected. That's about the passenger cars. In terms of two- and three-wheeler, no, I can say that the market volumes are really came back to where they were before the flotation, which is a brilliant thing. I would say that the commercial vehicles are almost performing at the same pace as the passenger car. So overall, yes, we are continuing our promotions. And we have to do so because we cannot bear the very high level of inventory during such a period of very high interest rate. But that should answer your first question. The second question, I'm not the government. I read exactly like you what was written today. I really cannot comment. What I know is that the draft or the law was supposed to be discussed in the parliament, but there were far higher priority laws to be discussed, like the VAT law, like the salary increase laws, and so many other very important laws. So unfortunately, the automotive directive could not be discussed before the parliament recessed. So I know for a fact that it has to be discussed as soon as they will go back, which should be during October or November. But I really do not have more information than what you have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Move to our next question from Amin Wafi with Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for this opportunity. Just a couple questions. First one would be on regarding what you just mentioned, Doctor, on volume and prices. So what kind of margin are we looking at for the second half of the year if we were to assume that we would still have those kind of promotion and discounts as sales actions? And second question would be regarding the inventory level. Are we confident in the view that it will still going down as it was to pre-flotation level? And what would happen after? I mean, because you're selling cars now, so you're focusing on cash generation and on decreasing the inventory level. But then you will also need to build up again the inventory level as the market is recovering. So what's your strategy on that? Will it be a smooth continuation of operation, or what can we expect on that front? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the margins, more or less, you should expect the same level of margins in Q3 and Q4 for passenger cars. Having said that, we are expecting to add to Q3 and Q4 some reasonable level of fresh inventory, which probably will show some level of improvement in GP. So I didn't have, for example, Tucson. I am starting to sell Tucson from, I started from last month with a reasonable margin. So probably the margin level you will see some improvement in the margin. Plus, I expect maybe, we all expect that the Egyptian pound will strengthen versus US dollar, which will probably show some level of improvement in the margin. So that covers the margin side. As for the inventory reduction, actually we have a plan to liquidate the excess inventory we have before year end. With the market performance, we may be a little ahead of our target. We may be a little ahead of our target, but let's say that by the end of this year, I see our level of inventory going back to the reasonable level for the business, which means that if you take into account the value of the Egyptian pound, so you may have doubled the level of the amount of inventory by end of this year compared to end of 2014 or 15, which takes into account the fresh business we are doing. So it doesn't mean that we will be out of business. We are opening letter, as I mentioned, the example of the Tucson. We are starting also to import Elantra cars. We are importing bus chassis. We are importing truck chassis. We are not stopping the business. We are just reducing the level of inventory from very high level, which was mainly due to two factors. The first factor was the flotation. The market was absorbing from our side 5,000 cars a month, and all of a sudden it went down to as low as 210 cars in February. So our inventory level spiked because of the collapse in the market demand. And the second factor, we were piling up inventory of a certain PKD model, which is the Verna, because Hyundai Motor was stopping the production of those kits. By the end of this year, we will be in a normal level. I will not have another flotation.
We hope so.
And in the meantime, I do not have any reason to overstock any model, because whatever I need, I get from my supplier.
Okay, very clear. Thank you so much. And one more question. Is there any update on the 2- and 3-wheeler plants? The facility and...
Let me tell you, we are still, we have got an approval from the Suez Canal Authority, but until now we did not receive the contract for the land. I'm very sad to be saying this, but that's a fact.
Sorry, I couldn't hear the last part. Would you please repeat?
We got the approval from Suez Canal Authority about allocating 250,000 square meter for the factory. We have reached an agreement about the rental fee per square meter and about the escalation, but so far we didn't get the draft of the contract.
Okay.
And I'm not pushing in this environment, because I'm not that eager to start investing another 700-800 million during that period of time. I will feel much more comfortable next year.
Okay. So, can we say that we see 2017 as the year of the bottom of the earning cycle?
The what?
The bottom of the earning cycle. The earning cycle is bottoming up, and we would expect to see some growth in earnings starting in 2018.
In 2017, this to me is the liquidation year for all. Unfortunately, we started the year with a huge inventory level at a time when interest rates were very high. The buying price of this inventory was properly positioned to the market demand before the flotation. It was wrongly price position versus the market demand of after the flotation. Whatever we start ordering fresh now, we are rediscussing the prices and getting good prices, good support from our suppliers. So definitely I foresee that 2017 is the end of it's a very difficult year, but this is the end of
Okay, and my last question, sorry, but my last question would be, would you be able to share more color on the good performance we've seen on the regional activities and especially the Iraqi market?
Iraqi market performance, I'm very happy about, because...
Is that something we can see continuing rolling forward in the next quarters?
What's happening in the Iraqi market is that ISIS is out of the table. Some kind of security and political stability is taking shape now. One third of the territory of Iraq we were unable to cater for, which was occupied by ISIS, so we didn't mm-hmm. have a presence. We mm-hmm. see dealers coming back from this part of Iraq back to business. Mm-hmm. We actually had some delayed collections which we are from that part of Iraq, which we are receiving now the collection. So as overall, we have succeeded to reduce the level of inventory from the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, to half what it was. And I see the performance continuing in July and August in a very improved, at a very improved level. So again, in Iraq, I believe that we will we'll see a brilliant future. Especially that this morning I got the news that the Iraqi parliament is discussing a new agency law which would necessitate that nobody can import cars into the territory of Iraq except registered distributors of global players. So this means that upon issuance of this law, parallel imports from Levant, Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon, as well as GCC, including Saudi mm-hmm. Arabia, will stop, which will enhance our volume as well as mm-hmm. our margins tremendously. So I think Iraq is going to be a hit once again after 3 years of suffering.
Okay. Okay, very clear. Thank you so much, Dr. Gabor.
Thank you. Thank you.
And once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll take our next question from Hadi Marat with Barrows Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, but my questions have already been answered. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And it appears there's no further questions at this time.
I would be eager to answer to any questions regarding finance businesses. Does anyone have any questions?
Just as a reminder, star 1 to ask any questions. And we do have another question. We'll take our next question from Aman Wafi with Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Regarding the financing business, what's the company's focus and the company's strategy, especially in light of what happened with the central bank and the increase in interest rates? What impact are you seeing on your revenue line for the financing business after this increase, and what to expect going in the next quarters? Any views on that would be very appreciated.
Okay, let me tell you about, I'll segment the answer because there are different businesses with different terms and conditions. In microfinance business, which is, we have two companies there, Mashroi and Tasahid. Mm-hmm. The interest we add on the loans offered from the company are very generous. So a 200 basis points doesn't really make a difference. Plus, we actually started from, I think, 3 months ago, applying or passing the interest increase to our customers. And they are mm-hmm. still making very good money. Our borrowers are making very good money. GBD's, the leasing company, the nature or the contract between the company and its customers allows the company to apply variable interest rate. So automatically, upon any rate hike from the Central Bank of Egypt, the company applies that rate increase to the current portfolio. The only issue we have here is in Thrive, which is the consumer finance company. In the consumer finance company, unfortunately, the rate is fixed. So whenever there is a rate hike, this actually erodes the profitability the company was contemplating from the current portfolio or by, you know. Here, our strategy is to build as big portfolio as possible during the period of high interest rate, because we know that the interest rate increase is a temporary measure. So, versus to loss profit we incur due to the rate increase, we will be incurring extra profit upon rate interest rate reduction on the additional portfolio we are building now. So the way I see it as chairman of the company, it's a temporary loss which will be translated into a bigger profit going forward by the time the interest rate will come. To answer the second part of your question, how do we see the business during that period of very high interest rate? Actually, business, the demand is huge. And let me again explain how. In the microfinance, customers, their margin in that segment of the market is very high. And we are the only window they have for getting finance. Whether the margin, whether the interest rate is applied, increases by 2% or 5%, doesn't mean anything to them. And they are performing, they are repaying, they have no problem. They just need the facility, and they need, they insist to have a brilliant track record because they want to grow with us. In the financial leasing, companies are short of cash, and the banks cycle for approving a credit is extremely long, and businesses do not wait. So we are, at the end of the day, even if I charge my client 1 or 2% above the lending prices of the banks, they actually want it, they accept it just because of the availability and the quickness of the approval. We see growth, huge growth in GDP. And we see huge growth in Thrive. Thrive consumers, the residual income has evaporated because electricity bills, fuel bills, water bills, school tuition fees, medical, pharmaceuticals, and so forth, everything has increased. And they still need a car. So the demand of consumer for consumer finance is huge. Having said that, our rate or our approval rate went dramatically down, but still the business is growing. So I used to have an approval rate of almost 60%. Now my approval rate is below 40%.
Sorry, but what do you mean? What do you mean by approval rate?
Each 100 application I received 2 years ago, I was approving almost 60.
Okay.
Credit, 60 were creditworthy. Today, 39 are creditworthy.
So,
shows you that the people are getting tighter. We also are making our credit approval tighter because we are making it more strict because we don't want to lose our money or risk our money.
Of course.
But, but the end result is the total volume of business is growing.
But what's the strategy behind that to catch this immense growth that you're... Because I look at Egypt as this huge country, this huge economy, so diverse. And I guess that the SMEs, the small and medium enterprises, which are the biggest recipient of such such products, they're all spread over the country, right? Even if we have big center of concentration of people. Can you just give me a few numbers maybe to help me understand the strategy on the ground? How many agencies do you have on the ground? How do you see this increasing? What's your driver of catching this growth, and how do you plan on making it the empire that it's supposed to
become?
You're
talking about how many companies are offering the same.
How many agents do you have on the ground, for instance, for the microfinance business, or...
In microfinance, currently we have 200 branches.
Okay.
Which are handling. So it's probably covering majority of Egypt. I think that we still have to add another 100 branches. So at maturity, Mashroi and Tasahil will be 300 branches.
By when?
It takes me about 7 to 8 branches a month, so I believe within end of 2018 we should be completed. Regarding Drive is handling the business through our dealer network and our own branches and the dealer networks of our competition. So they have a marketing division, which is in contact with almost all the car dealers of Egypt, or majority, big majority of the car dealers of Egypt. So the dealers are referring, when the customer comes, if it's cash, they just send to him. If it requires finance, we are on their top priority. So they refer the dealers to us. We do not have that many branches in Drive because we just have 3 branches for Drive, but we rely mostly on the dealer network of either our own branches, our own dealer network, and the dealer network of the competition. In GBLIS, it's more like a medium enterprise, so it's a headquarters. And they have their marketing team, which is visiting the corporate and all across the country. And actually, GBLIS today is by far the biggest financial leasing company. It's number one with a big differentiation in market share between it and the second ranking. So today, any customer in Egypt thinking about financial leasing contract will definitely knock the door of GBLIS because it's number one. Yeah.
Okay. So just to sum it up or to conclude on this point, so today as first half 17 earnings, GB Capital is about 20% of total revenue. What's your target? What do you have in mind on a 2 to 3 years horizon? What share do you think you will be able to bring that share?
Medium term, it will. I firmly believe automotive business will grow much bigger, because automotive business has been the biggest victim of the recent economic turmoil in Egypt. So if we're talking about a total market which went down to 90 or 100,000 cars this year, I see this market tripling within the next 3 to 5 years. So definitely, GB Auto size is growing, plus the fact that we are growing as well all other businesses. I just want you to keep watching the growth ratios of tire business, after steel business, yeah, lubricant business. It's impressive. So I would say automotive or industrial business is expected to grow much bigger than what it is today. But having yeah said that, if you ask me my personal vision for GB Auto 5 years down the road, definitely finance business will overtake industrial. Will be much okay bigger. Because you can confidently look at 50% growth year on year, which industrial business, whatever it does, yeah, it's coming from a very low level today, but mm-hmm it will have its limits for growth.
Okay, thank you very much for all of this information, Victor. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And once again, that is star one to ask a question. And there are no further questions over the phone at this time.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being our guests in today's call. And I am really hopeful I'll be able to deliver much clearer signal for inventory and debt level reduction in the Q3 conference call. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, operator.
And this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.